From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WTVZ Eden Prairie, and serving the world at 105theticket.com. Your home for pure sports talk. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket, a Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
I don't know when he's coming, and so we'll just leave it at that. You know, you all have jobs to do, and I understand that. So it's more about, he's missed a lot of OTAs over the course of his career, and, you know, I'm not worried about it. I got 89 guys out here that I'm coaching and trying to get better. And so it's really not my place to figure out what he's not saying publicly or saying publicly or what anybody else is saying. It's more about, really about these guys that are out here. You know, Adrian, you know, he's really got two choices. He can either play for us or he can not play. So he's not going to play for anybody else, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Well, that's Mike Zimmer weighing in. Actually, he tried soft-soaping it early, but he got pretty stern at the end and made it clear. Either he plays for us or he doesn't play, and that's really the bottom line of it. You know that he's pissed.
Yeah.
You can tell he's not happy with this.
It's a pretty strong message to be sending right now.
Hey, Adrian, you're not going to play anywhere if you don't play for us. The biggest problem Adrian Peterson has is his agent. Because Ben Dogger has been giving him bad information and bad news. Other top guys like J.J. Watt dumped him. A few top players dumped his Dogger because he's gotten himself in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But Adrian, well, he's loyal. You got to give him that. Not loyal to his team that gave him, what, $12 million last year for doing nothing. Right? What did he
Can
do?
I make that kind of money? To do nothing?
Well, you do nothing. Well, you got half of it down. You got the do-nothing like part,
two,
right?
I'm at 2% right now.
You're a 2%er just like milk?
Yeah.
You know, we talked yesterday about what happened in Chicago with Ray McDonald, who was arrested for assaulting a woman holding an infant. Now, I think it was right that he was cut by the team, but I was thinking about it today. Allegedly assaulted a woman holding an infant. AP beat a child who was 4 years old, not one swat with a stick or a switch, multiple times. He should be thankful that he was able to collect money. He did not get to play because he's on the commissioner's exempt list. That teams are not looking at as harshly. I mean, frankly, where do you draw the line? I mean, both of them are hideous.
Mm-hmm.
They're horrible things to do. Attack a woman holding an infant and beat a defenseless four-year-old when you're one of the best athletes and strongest men pound for pound in the world. So he should be happy and be grateful and just show up and I don't really care if he comes to the OTAs. I don't care if he plays again for the Vikings, but I just don't know. How do you get inside that head? What is telling him that he deserves to be traded? He was wronged. He just won't allow that. Some people on the team, because he's upset with one of the team executives, right? Because he didn't want, he wanted him to be suspended or wanted him to be on the commissioner's exempt list. Get over it. I mean, a lot of people have a problem with beating a defenseless four-year-old. He should just be happy they were willing to welcome him back. I mean, now...
And it's not just us. There are other teams that have kind of said that they would want him on their team. That was the whole Tampa Bay was going to put together an offer.
Yeah.
Arizona was going to.
They're over it when
he should consider himself lucky that teams still want him to play. You could be in Ray McDonald or Ray Rice's boots right now and looking for work and not going to find it.
Well, and the thing about him is he needs to just realize that as he keeps this going, it festers and people are going to start remembering, like I'm bringing up, what caused all this. It wasn't the Vikings who caused this. It was Adrian Peterson who caused this. And I still think he's getting bad advice from his agent and the people around him because he's surrounded by sycophants who are going to tell him he's right. You got to do everything you want to do, and whatever you want to do, Adrian. Yeah, you shouldn't show up. They should give you guaranteed money. That's the most ridiculous thing, too. Guaranteed money. For again, he got money last year, and I told you this yesterday. His money basically is guaranteed because if he would just show up, he would get the money.
That's what Zimmer's kind of saying.
Show up, you get paid. Show up, even if you get hurt, you'll get paid. And also, if you got suspended, you've already proven you can take him to court and still get the money. He's going to get the money. He's worrying about that 2017 money and that 2016 money. You know, that $17 million in 2017, which he probably will never see Because unless he's knocking down rushing records at the age of 33 or going into his 33rd year, he's not going to be making $17 million. They would probably cut him at that point.
Which you would think, if anybody does have a shot at still being productive that age, it would be him, because he's an athletic freak.
Absolutely. Hey, by the way, I also want to mention how about those? Your Twins, 9 games above 500, 1 game out of first going into today's game. You know, going into today. So that's not too shabby. What is shabby is what's happening with soccer. This FIFA thing, I find it interesting. The corruption, the arrest today,
yeah.
Top officials, you know, and we're talking, I guess what I don't really know for sure why our government is so intent on going after them.
Because they broke the law.
But again, it's happening around the world. I mean, soccer's not that big a deal here. I think, are they just doing it to remind us that they have that kind of power? Is that Debbie Lang? Mm-hmm. Let's go to Debbie. Debbie, how are you? Debbie Lang from Holberg Criminal Defense. You got a fancy new website too.
You like that?
HolbergDefense.com. You look great on it, as does Marsh Holberg and your guy that I think is with you. You have Doug Hazelton with you, right?
That's right. He's here as well. He's our Mr. Soccer here at Holberg.
Now, is he related to the golf course or the drug rehabilitation center?
I wouldn't be an attorney if I had either of those income streams.
That's probably a good point. Now, Doug, are you giving up on soccer now? Because your FIFA is rife with, what's the right word, rife with corruption and scandal.
Well, it's not my FIFA. It's been Sepp Blatter's FIFA for a long time. I support club soccer more than I do international soccer, but this is really not surprising for those of us who followed it for some time.
So you've been expecting all along for something like this to come down?
Well, we never knew if Sepp Blatter would ever be indicted. He still hasn't been.
No, he's the head of FIFA.
Right, and it's been rotten for a while, and I think it really came to light when Qatar and Russia were given the bids in 2010.
Now, what was the figure that they claimed was over $100 million in bribes for those? Was that each or combined?
I think combined.
Combined.
My God. Well,
that's what
now,
we know about.
So how come? Why do you think he has not yet been touched by this?
He's a real powerful guy, and every time somebody has run against him for the president, something always seems to come up where they lose support or
disappear.
They don't have a number of votes for FIFA selecting him president again. So he's the jefe of FIFA.
But how does he stay away from the indictment? And that leads me to my other question. Why is the U.S. so intent on this? Because is it Gutter? How do you say it? Guitar? Gutter? Because I've heard of many ways.
I think it's Qatar. I think that's
Qatar. Okay. Is it because the Qatar got it, not the United States, in 2022?
No, you know, the reason that the U.S. is involved at this point is the crimes that are alleged here, so the racketeering, the wire fraud, the money laundering, those crimes were agreed and prepared here in the United States, and a lot of the transactions were also through U.S. banks. So that's why the U.S. is involved for the indictment portion.
Okay.
Switzerland is also circling at this point in time, and they're conducting their own investigations regarding the allocation of the 2018 and 2022 World Cups, because those agreements happened in Switzerland, in Zurich. So both countries are circling, looking at prosecuting these FIFA officials, and they're all going to be questioning the detainees at this point. So who knows who might start singing against Blatter.
Well, now, this happened in Zurich at a hotel there. I'm guessing they had a big meeting.
Yeah, kind of like in the mob back in the 50s when all the mob guys met in Appalachia in upstate New York. They sort of knew where they were all going to be.
Except,
as you can imagine, you know, they're all sitting around in their 5-star hotel, so they know they're all going to be there for this annual FIFA meeting, and swoop in comes the authorities based upon the U.S. indictment.
Well, Zurich's a little nicer than the Appalachians, I think.
Just a little.
There's a little bit of, but these guys really live high. Now, if you're on, let's say you're a FIFA official, do you get much money other than the bribes? I mean, are they all paid, or are many of them volunteer positions?
They are paid, and it depends on what your individual country gives you. I think the FIFA executives get salaries, and I'm not sure that that is public, although it runs into the tens of millions of dollars for most of them. One unindicted co-conspirator is Chuck Blazer, who was head of the U.S. From the U.S. with CONCACAF, which was our region governing soccer body. And he got a contract where he got basically 10% of anything that he brought in for CONCACAF, which became in the tens of millions of dollars.
And he also, now we're talking to Debbie Lang and Doug Hazelton from Hallberg Criminal Defense. He, to use the term that was used quite often in the old 30s and 40s racketeering movies, he sang like a canary, didn't he? He's the one that gave the feds a lot of information for, did he get complete immunity or did he just get a lesser threat of a sentence?
Yeah, that's not clear. He entered pleas of guilty back in 2013, and he hasn't yet been sentenced. The 2012 Olympics, he actually wore a wire. So
World Cup.
I'm sorry, the 2012 World Cup.
Come on, Debbie. I don't want to hear Doug correcting you again.
I know it happens. Sorry. That's why I need him here.
Sorry.
You know, this big shot FIFA fan. Now, Doug, are you going to run for the FIFA board? There's a lot of openings.
Not a bad idea.
There's a ton of them. What will this do to soccer? And will soccer be harmed by this or tainted? You know, the big events and the teams in these different countries. Probably not, right? It's really everything's related to the world. Why is there a need for a FIFA just to give out World Cups? What else do they do?
Well, they're the international governing body, so they establish what the standards are for everything from basically, is this an international? Does this qualify for an international tournament? It's basically the world governing body. I mean, the individual associations can do their own things, such as some organizations have cameras, say for seeing if it's a goal or not. Goal line technology is done in England, whereas it's not done in France. So. Different boards with their own individual tournaments and their own individual clubs can have their own individual rules, but it's under the governing body of FIFA. And it's basically money. It's a lot of money.
It sure is.
The amount of money that is brought to a country that wins the World Cup, just in merchandising is astronomical.
Now, are we, or our government, our U.S. attorney, are in some ways just pissy because they didn't get it? Because of the corruption? I just don't understand. I mean, is it a PR move by the U.S. attorney's office to get some more publicity for themselves of being hard asses about it? Or is this something that should have and should be done? It seems like we got so much else going on here in terms of corrupt people that we're going after, you know, an international governing body. I don't know, it just seems like, I don't want to use waste of money, but is it a waste of money?
Well, you know, this has been under investigation since 2011. The FBI is involved in this investigation, and we're talking about hundreds, you know, over $100 million.
But it's soccer. Sorry, Doug.
Which surprising to you and me, Bob, but it is, you know, worldwide.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is far more popular than football.
No, I understand. I know the popularity and the importance worldwide of soccer. Now, Doug, were you so you've been expecting this all along, right? Something like this to happen?
Well, certainly they weren't going to let I still can't find it hard to believe that the World Cup in 2022 will happen in Qatar. I mean, they've even moved the schedule around to where they'll be playing in the winter instead of the summer.
Yeah, because it'll be 110 degrees if it's in the summer.
Well, and Qatar said that it won't be a problem because we'll build stadiums where we guarantee the temperature won't rise above 80 degrees. But people will still have to leave the stadium at some point. And I don't know what recreation there is outside the stadiums in Qatar. I mean, it's a pretty pretty poor country, and that's been another big, I think, black eye to the international community is that it hasn't been reported in the U.S. press, but certainly in the international press, building these stadiums has been just literally murder for a lot of the out-of-country workers who come in to build them. And dozens and dozens of people have died building these stadiums. And it's because there has been no real oversight. I think the other reason that the U.S. got involved is that for a long time, we sort of haven't been involved in international corruption. This is sort of a way for the U.S. to flex its muscle on an international business. And to say you can't do corrupt business, whether it's a sports body or whether it's a big corporation, as long as you have ties to the U.S. So it's really our chance to get our toe in internationally.
And it's also our chance to deflect from issues we have right here in the U.S. Debbie Lang and Doug Hazelton from Hallberg Criminal Defense, thank you so much for joining us and help shedding a better light on this thing of what's going on with those wacky soccer people.
Yeah. And Bob, for the record, I was actually right. He wore a wire at the London 2012 Olympics.
You know, Debbie, I was kind of shocked that you were wrong, because I've never known you to be wrong. Doug, would you like to make the apology public or private?
I will make it public and private. You'll yell at me after we go off air. But I apologize, for the record.
All right, thanks again, Debbie Lang, Doug Hazelton. Take it easy from Hallberg Criminal Defense.
You.
Take a quick break. Be right back with the Chief David Alcaro. Rangers making life interesting in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the big game tonight. Houston trying to become the first team out of 117 to battle back from a 3-0 deficit in the NBA. And how about those Cavs? Well, we'll talk to David about that and so much more when we return.
Joined Radioactive Sports at the office on Washington Avenue for Twins Ticket Friday.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will be there from 4 to 7 outside on the patio, along with our ticket girls, giving away tickets to that night's game and future games.
From the office on Washington and 844 Hay Workers, get fueled up before the game with $3 cold domestic drafts and a great full menu.
Radioactive Sports, live at the office on Washington before Friday Twins home games. Then walk right over to Target Field.
Finally, an office you can have fun at with Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
That's his music. We are joined by the Chief David Alcaro. You can check him out at thechiefsports.com, and he's presented by Liquid Ice Energy Drink. Chief, you were at the game last night, the Ranger game, of course, I'm speaking of.
No, I didn't take the trip down to Tampa.
Of course, that's right, it was at Tampa.
Yeah, but I will be there Friday night here in New York, Game 7.
Well, and they've never lost a closeout game at home, right?
Yeah, 7-0 in their history, 87-year history of the New York Rangers. It's kind of sad they've only had 7 home Game 7s, but they've won them all.
Now, what's been the difference that turned the tide for them? I mean, they're getting better goaltending, certainly, and they have one of the best goaltenders, and they piled it on last night.
Yeah, I mean, Game 5, it looked like it would take them 2 days to score a goal. They could not get even close to scoring, and then they score 5 goals in the third period last night. So it's just, you can't figure it out. It's the hardest game to really predict, and the Rangers are proving it, because I don't know what came over them last night. Once their back's against the wall, they had a great offensive performance. That line of Derek Brassard, JT Miller, and Rick Nash were fantastic. Brassard, 3 goals, 2 assists, a plus 5. 10 Jeez. Shots on goal. A legendary game for him, for the New York Rangers.
And 7-3 the score. I mean, that's a game that we've seen other teams bounce back from, giving up a lot of goals, but it seems like when you're going into Game 7 in New York, these Tampa Bay players, they know the history there. That's got to weigh on these guys, I would think.
It does, but they gave up 6 goals in Game 4 and then came back to shut them out in Game 5. It looks like the Rangers had Ben Bishop figured out in Game 4, and then Game 5 he played really well, and then last night he was terrible. So it's been very hard to figure out. I don't like that alternating situation where he is due for a bounce-back game in Game 7, and the fact that Tampa Bay is playing very well at Madison Square Garden is very scary. But the Rangers' history definitely has them favored, and why a lot of Rangers fans feel pretty confident.
Well, the place will be rocking, I would think, for this Game 7, a chance to go to the finals.
It certainly will be. The one interesting thing, though, is on a Friday night in the summer, won't be as the intense crowd as it would be midweek. You'd have Orthodox Jews would make up a huge portion of the New York Rangers population. They won't be able to attend the game. And you also have all the Hamptonites leaving Friday afternoon, Friday night. They may stick around and not leave till Saturday to watch the Rangers play.
That's right. You got them all going to Long Island or the Jersey Shore.
Yeah,
so many of them.
It won't be. I think the ticket price will actually maybe even a little bit cheaper than it was against Game 7 against the Washington Capitals, because that was a midweek game when you have all the Wall Street after work crowd.
So you're not, I mean, there is really a large contingent of Orthodox Jews that are fans?
Oh, yeah, especially in the ticket, the season ticket ownership. I know from buying tickets on StubHub, looking at the owner's ticket name, you know, there's a lot. Yeah, it's a very big portion of the New York Rangers fan population.
So are they, I mean, if you went on there now, are you seeing a lot of them selling the tickets? Because is it because it's you know, the game's after sundown?
Yeah, there's a lot of tickets for offer. There always is. A lot of the season ticket holders are in the game of selling them and taking advantage of a long playoff run. So, yeah, there's plenty of tickets for offer. The markets haven't really dropped yet. I think they will, though, closer to game time. But it's hard to predict because Rangers fans are going to want to be there.
Now, because obviously, you follow this team closely, the Rangers. What do you? Who would you prefer them playing, Anaheim or Chicago? And Anaheim can close it out tonight with a win. In Chicago.
Well, they're both such tough tasks. I probably want to go with Anaheim just because they don't feel like they have that same magic that Chicago does. I feel the Blackhawks, just with Taves and Kane and the two defensemen, I just feel like they're just a little bit more intangibles. You know, they've won two championships with this group. So I'm a little bit more fearful of the Blackhawks. But then again, I'm also fearful of playing a very big team from Southern California, because it reminds New York Rangers fans so much of last year when they lost to the Los Angeles Kings. So either way, it's going to be very, very tough. I think I'd probably still rather play the Anaheim Ducks.
Now, we're talking to the Chief, David Alcaro. Now, Chief, what do you think about the NBA Finals?
I like the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're a little bit over 2-1 installed as underdogs. Obviously, almost certainly going to play the Golden State Warriors, who I think will blow out Houston tonight. I think they win by more than the 10-point spread tonight.
So you don't see it going for teams that are up 3-0 and are 116-0, you don't think it'll be 116-1? You don't think Houston's going to come back? That was their last hurrah then the other night.
No, they would have actually. If Steph Curry got seriously injured on that play and he was out for the rest of the series, things could have maybe gotten a little interesting. But no, he's healthy. He'll be fine. He'll have the protective sleeve on tonight. But I actually think Golden State wins in a blowout. And in the finals, I like Cleveland. I just think LeBron James is on a mission. I think Golden State's taking a step into the finals is even more pressure. This is a very inexperienced group when you talk about deep playoff runs. And I think Cleveland, who has a little bit more experience, obviously a lot more with LeBron James, I like the Cavaliers, and especially with the odds getting a little bit over 2-1.
And also because both of these series would be ending relatively quickly, they don't play again for almost a week and a half, right?
Yeah,
over a week.
June 4th is the set for the finals. The NBA was trying to move it up. They were looking at June 2nd, but they couldn't logistically get it done.
It's that one is amazing to me. Now, let me ask you, so I know you certainly have been following the American Pharoah, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness. The only living trainer of a Triple Crown winner, I believe, a Seattle Sluice trainer. And he had said he was surprised and didn't think it was a good idea for Bob Baffert, the trainer of American Pharoah, to be training him in Kentucky and not at the Belmont. Now, do you think that's overplaying a little bit, or do you think that's a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal. This is what, Bob Baffert has done. He'd rather ship the horse to Kentucky and have it there, away from the media, away from all of the Triple Crown kind of pressure, and then ship it in just before the race. And it's what he's done in the past. You know, he's come close to winning the Triple Crown, hasn't gotten it done, but he's come very close, and he's had very good runs in the Belmont Stakes. So I wouldn't question what Bob Baffert does. Now this guy will be able to first guess, and we'll be able to, let's say, blame a failure of American Pharoah on that. But I don't think it's that big a deal. I think Bob Baffert should do what he's always done.
See, I would, frankly, if it were me, he's never won the Triple Crown, so maybe you should change things up. Turner, who was Seattle Sluice trainer, maybe he's on to something. Now what do you think about American Pharoah? Do you see him winning?
I don't. I even though this horse, I think, has this special talent, I just think it's too hard a feat to do. And to go up against fresh horses, it looks like none of the horses he'll race again raced in both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. So he's going to be going against mostly fresh horses. some of them better trained for this distance, and some of them, materiality especially, who I thought would have had a great chance to factor into the Derby, but had a terrible post position. Post position won't be as big a factor in the Belmont Stakes, less horses, longer trip, but I think materiality will put pressure on American Pharoah at the beginning of the race, and that'll have to go at a faster pace, and will allow one of the horses coming from the back to catch him in the very, very long stretch. You know, I've been out there ever since the real quiet chance in 1997. I've been to every one of them, and they haven't happened, and I'm going to keep betting against it until it does. I'm sure, I hope it does, but I think it's just too hard a task to pull off the Triple Crown.
I was talking to somebody today who likes, you know, who was talking about Frosty, and how Frosty seemed to be coming on strong in the Derby, did not run in the Preakness, and that could be a horse that gives him trouble.
Yeah, a lot of people really like Frosted to be the one to upset American Pharoah. He'd be one of the horses kind of coming from the back, and a very fast pace with its materiality. American Pharoah getting to a speed duel early. Yeah, the late chargers, possibly even Keen Ice, who's a little bit of more of a long shot. He's going to be charging at the end too, and even Fomento, who's looks like he's going to be a real long shot, could be a horse that could factor in if there is that speed duel at the beginning. But materiality could end up winning the speed duel and beating American Pharoah at the front, or one of the horses from the back could end up winning. Either way, American Pharoah is going to have an incredible race to pull it off.
Well, and you know, obviously, I don't have a thoroughbred or racehorses, but I do have horses. This whole thing about him being tired, needing 3 weeks to recover isn't enough. He's not going to be fresh. To me, that's a bunch of bull. These horses come back pretty quick. They're horses.
That's people who know standardbred racing know. Yeah, horses generally they run weekly there in harness racing and trotters, but it's still, it's not necessarily that he won't be able to run well. It's just that the other horses that are fresher will be able to run better. And when you're looking at, you know, Frosted, Materiality, Carpe Diem, another one that, you know, 5 weeks off as opposed to 3 weeks off.
They're rusty.
It's a big difference.
Maybe they're rusty. Well, we'll see. Chief, as always, I appreciate it. The Chief, David Alcaro. Check him out at thechiefsports.com, and he is presented by Liquid Ice Energy Drink. Chief, I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you. Real soon.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks again to the Chief. Come back. Little threesome. Three questions, three answers. Join in if you want. 651-989-9105 is the number. Be right back.
Later today on Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson at 4.
Something magical is going on with the Twins at Target Field. We'll talk to Zach Harper from CBS Sports about the Timberwolves and their draft, and check in with Brian Murphy down at Vikings OTAs.
It's a magic number.
Yeah. Good news for you. It's not going to cost him a cent. Because they'll work it out so he gets that bonus. Just to get him in.
He's got to show up.
I'll come back, but you got to give me the bonus. His agent will whine and complain like he always does. Ben Dagra. Annoying.
Well, doesn't seem that anything's being given to him yet.
I don't think it's going to be an issue. You know what, AP? We aren't going to give you the guaranteed money. We'll give you the $250, though. Just show up. Come to the mini camp.
I'll show up.
That'll be the next. Yeah, you show up. And why don't you show up wearing his number and see what happens?
Well, I hope the $250K can cover my medical bills.
I don't think it'll be enough. What medical bills? Cover a coffin for you.
Well.
You know, the funeral.
Hope I don't die.
Well, you probably will. You don't think one of these guys hitting you would kill you? I know you're fleet of foot.
If I can run out of bounds as fast as possible.
Oh, you've never seen sideline shots?
Well, I've seen them.
Of guys getting hit?
It's happened to me. I'm alive.
Yeah, okay. Were you hit by a guy that was 300 pounds?
I have no
coming
idea.
Coming at you with blazing speed?
I do not remember
that. What was the movie? Was it The Fortune Cookie with Jack Lemmon? Where he, and Walter Matthau, where he was on a sideline of a football game and got knocked out of bounds, and he played it up like he was, you know, severely hurt and may not walk again. I think that's what it was. It was actually a pretty funny movie. He's trying to pull a little insurance scam or so. Anyway, you've got a few questions, have you not?
Attention, Bob. Oh. I have three questions for you.
I'll jump right
Number
in.
Number one, if the Twins call up Casey Fien at the end of the week, which pitcher is most likely to get sent down?
Not called up, activated. He's on the DL right
activated,
now.
Activated, yeah. It would have to be one of the pitchers, right?
Yeah.
You think?
Because they're already carrying eight in the bullpen. And you rule out Glenn Perkins and Blaine Boyer because of their performance. Obviously,
well,
they're great. And then you can rule out J.R. Graham since he's a Rule 5 selection. He has to stay up with the team all year. So who is the guy?
Who would be?
There's Michael Tonkin, Tim Stauffer.
You know what? Honestly, I think with some of these guys, you could almost flip a coin on who you're going to get rid of. I mean, it's the it's got to be dependent on, I guess, who's been performing the worst in the bullpen.
Stauffer hasn't really done anything since he's come back. Brian Dunsing has really struggled, but we're not going to get rid of
a
lefty.
I think I would say that
keeping him and Thompson most likely.
Well, I mean, Stauffer certainly would be I'm just taking a look of their pitchers. He would seem to be one that's glaring there, right? Wouldn't you think? I mean, wouldn't be Presley, would it?
Well, Presley, he's one of those guys. He's been, I don't know, somewhat impressive, but he is a guy that kind of jumps back and forth between AAA and the Twins roster, so it could easily just be him.
Yeah, that's why I wonder if potentially it could wind up being him too, or him. I would say it would be one or the other. Presley would certainly be in the running, and Thompson could be in the running. Does that take care of it for you?
Stauffer,
excuse me, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Stauffer.
They'll keep
Thompson. I don't like the Stauffer name. It's not a, you know. All right, what else you got?
Number two. It has been reported that D'Angelo Russell is also in the mix to be selected number one by the Timberwolves. Is he a real possibility?
Oh, please, who's coming up with that one?
Chad Ford, it's ESPN Insider.
You know what, don't get caught up in that, thinking that's going to happen. They, from everything that, even from what he said recently, and from what he said in the past, I think Flip is in love with Jahlil Okafor. Those are going to be your first two picks. Him and Towns, that's the first two picks. And then Russell, you know, he's likely to go. But it's not going to be.
What if Flip has something in his mind? Like, trade Rubio. Train Russell to be the new point guard. Go young and quick, lower or shorter.
Okay.
Like the Warriors with Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry.
I don't know what you're going to get for Rubio with his history of injuries. But unless you could work out a deal that you wind up with Russell and Okafor, I'm not so sure that you're going to be able to pull that off.
I have no idea how that would even work.
No, I don't, because Rubio would have to have been healthy and would have to be at an all-star level. I just don't see that happening. You think it's a possibility?
I don't know. Just the way Minnesota basketball has gone over the last 10 years, you don't really know what to expect. With David Kahn, he was a freaking wild card, so that was fantastic. Taking
back-to-back
three point guards.
And the wrong one.
Yes, guards.
But back-to-back.
Rubio and Flynn.
Yeah, and Johnny Flynn and Rubio. And then Steph Curry went a few spots later.
And right after Flynn. And then DeMar DeRozan went a pick or two after that. It would have been a solid 1-2 guard combo set for years.
Imagine if they had Curry. Well, this team would still be languishing because that's what they do.
That's also provided we could have kept him here.
Yeah, that's a big proviso.
And then they ended up taking Ty Lawson. You just kind of feel like there's a chance something goes awry.
I don't think Flip's going to let that happen.
D'Angelo Russell shouldn't be in the mix. It should be down to Towns or Okafor.
You know what I think? I think Chad Ford just needed something to write to get people interested or get them talking. I can't believe he even believes that's a possibility. Although he'll turn out to be a hell of a pro.
Yeah, he should be. He's got all the tools, but that's the NBA draft for you. You can have all the tools show up and do nothing.
But when you look at it, in terms of big men, Okafor and Towns, when's the last time you saw guys at that level coming out?
At that level? Like two guys
that are considered easily number one and two? Yes, or two and one. I mean, they're both like one and 1A.
Yeah.
Some teams are, you know, are split on them more than... I mean, everybody now is all on the Towns bandwagon, but you don't hear a lot of the NBA personnel people abandoning Jahlil Okafor based on a couple of bad games.
No, there's two drafts that come to mind that happened relatively recently. That would be the Derrick Rose, Michael Beasley year, where a lot of people thought Beasley, this is the guy.
He's a
double-double machine. Yeah, he did not pan out. Chicago made the right move.
Absolutely.
By taking Derrick Rose first overall, even though he's dealt with knee issues, you'd still rather have Derrick Rose.
Rather the knee issues than the head issues.
Yeah. And then the other year would be the Greg Oden, Kevin Durant, where you're thinking, all right, we're getting this 7-footer who's amazing, or this guy that could develop into a sweet natural scorer.
And he did.
And one of the two pans out. So it will be interesting to see if there is a 50-50 shot on even Towns and Okafor and only one of them works out. I think both of them should be solid pros at the worst.
You know what, though? But let me ask you this, because I know if I'm going to bet on one being a bigger success, it's Okafor. Are you going on Towns?
I'd go Towns.
See, I think it's going to be Okafor. Because I think that there's something about certain, you know, guys that there's something inside of them that, you know, that they're not going to be denied and they have a drive there. Now, maybe because I followed Okafor a little more closely than Towns, but I just think that Okafor has that. Maybe Towns does too.
He's got a lot.
5 years down the road, I'd like to see, we'll know better how it panned out.
Not a lot of people got to even see what Towns was capable of in college because he played within the system where he wasn't utilizing his full talent.
Well, the other thing in Towns' favor is if he winds up going to the Lakers, they're not going to stand still.
No.
You know, Kobe says he's going to be done after this year, but they're going to make moves and they're going to draw people to that team. Because they're the Lakers. I mean, they'll have money. With Kobe not there, they're going to have a lot of money to work with.
Well, everybody's going to have money in two seasons.
Well, but without Kobe, there's a lot more money around that, you know, to work with.
That's after one more year, they free up $25 million right there. And then each team is going to be getting about that amount in cap room after the following season as well.
But just think about how many teams would love to, you know, or how many players want to be in L.A. They just want to be out there. Okay. You know what?
I'm happy
when you get the call, you'll take Memphis. You'll be happy to play there.
I like their team.
Yeah, it's like you'll play. You
like
play
that
anywhere.
Coach. That coach should be the coach.
It should have been the guy here, but it didn't quite work out because his owner didn't let him. All right, what else you got?
And finally, the New York Mets are expected to go with a 6-man rotation until mid to late August. Could this be the next thing in baseball?
It's amazing about did they start out 13-3?
They started out hot. They're still in second place in their division, I believe.
But they've had a bit of a slide. I think the whole idea of that 6-man rotation is because they're trying to get something going. You know, they're now they're 5 games above 500, and they certainly have so they struggle on the road. I actually got a little something going there. Hold on a minute here. They're 5-5 in their last 10, and they've got a couple of wins going. But I don't think that's going to be the next trend.
But this is also, like, I think it's interesting. One of the things they plan on doing is rather than some of your young pitchers where you have a ceiling for how many innings they're going to pitch in this season, if you carry a six-man rotation for an extra couple months, you'll still be able to use Matt Harvey returning from Tommy John surgery. You're still going to be able to use him through September. I think that's what their goal is.
Well, they're basing everything on trying to, you know, help out, and he's a hell of a pitcher. But one guy, what you have to think about, too, is then you've got good pitchers who are waiting an extra start to get out there and pitch. So I guess it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I just don't see teams going to six. But then again, used to be four, and everybody went to five. Why not just go to 10?
Do it.
You know what? Just stretch them out. What the heck? We'll see. You know what? Go home for a few days and come back. You want to go visit the family? Go ahead. We won't need you for about a week. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk a little more basketball. John Tower, coach at St. Thomas, huge follower of the NBA, also a psychology professor with you. I want to talk to him. Actually, here's a question I have for him, and I want you to think about it, too. If you were putting together a team, and I know LeBron will be one of them, but who would be the first two players you'd want on your team? Would it be LeBron and Curry, LeBron and Rose, LeBron and Durant? Who would it be? Who would be the two guys, if you could pick to build a team around, who would be the two you'd build? I'm just assuming LeBron is going to be one of them, but who would be that second guy? I don't think the second one is as obvious as the first one. But we'll ask him about that. You think about it, too. We'll be right back.
Sports and legal issues. They don't mix very often, do they? Join Marsh Holberg with Bob right Sansevier now? Every Tuesday afternoon at 3.
What would you do if Tom Brady hired you?
I think what he should be doing is talking about, we're still denying him he did anything wrong, but just like the Patriot team is saying, we're going to take some punishment here just to move on with our lives. The spin I would then take is this isn't about whether I did or not. The question is what's consistent and what's fair.
Marsh Holberg, every Tuesday afternoon at 3, powered by Smart Start MN, 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And we're back. We are joined by John Tower, coach at St. Thomas, also a psychology professor there. John, we're going to talk some basketball, but first, the Twins beat Boston. The game just got over with. 6-4 win. They are now a half game out of first, and within the next half hour, the Yankees are leading in the bottom of the eighth. Yankees are up there leading 4-2 over Kansas City. Within the next half hour, the Twins could be in a tie for first place in the American League Central. That's not too shabby. 10 games above 500.
That is amazing. Given the way they started the year, certainly
1-6.
You know, yep. I think back to our early conversations, and I had my boys out to the ballpark last night, and it just, you know, it could make for a really fun summer if they could keep this up and be in a division race. You know, they have something working well right now.
And Phil Hughes, by the way, 6 2/3 innings, 4 earned runs, no walks, 6 hits. He got the win. And how about Glenn Perkins, his 18th save? They are making it fun, and they're getting, the Mauer had a couple of hits, and the bottom, they had hits from their 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th hitters. So they were getting, they've got something going. As a matter of fact, Rosario and Aaron Hicks both had their 6th and 8th hitter, both had home runs today. The second for Rosario, the first for Hicks. And even Mauer, 27 ribbies already.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the mark of, you know, good teams. So often you look at the best players. But it is those complementary supporting role players that so often, whether it's 6 through 9 in the batting order, the middle relievers. But when you look at the teams that have really consistently excellent seasons, they've usually got guys plugged in. And regardless of the sport, they have guys plugged in a way where they pick up the slack for the stars when they're not fully on their game. But they also sometimes can just out and out carry a team.
Now, John, let's go to your, because your background is a psychology professor. You have seen over the years, whether it's in college or the professional level, a number of teams that struggled. And a new coach comes in, and suddenly things get turned around in a hurry. Now, I don't think Gardenhier, he took a lot of flack, and, you know, a lot of people believe, and I'm not arguing with it, that a change needed to be made. But what is it about the psychology of teams when there's just a new infusion of a guy like Mike Zimmer? This team, with all the things happening last year, they still didn't play badly down the stretch.
Well, I think certainly, Bob, that's a great point. When you look at the infusion of just, whether it be a new culture, new energy, pro sports are one of the big differences is they know you could be with a guy for a long, long time. You look at the Spurs, and they're an anomaly with Popovich and Duncan and
yep.
Parker and Ginobili. But so often you see ridiculous turnover in pro sports. And some of that, I think, is, you know what? Guys don't play for their college coaches for 4 years. A lot of them only play for 1 or 2 years. So getting in, you know, that new energy, that is some of it. I mean, it certainly doesn't fix talent gaps, but sometimes it's also, you know, the blend between the coaches and the talent that maybe over time a system doesn't fit the players really well as their free agency and overhaul in their roster. And a new coach comes in, and not only does he bring new energy, but he might bring a system that actually he's able to step back and objectively say, this is what we need to run on offense, for example, with this team, and we're not wed to anything we've done in the past.
Well, actually, another good example, that this team was not, they made it in the postseason last year, but, Golden State, Steve Kerr and the influence he's had on the Warriors.
Oh, without question. And the Warriors were certainly close, and the hard thing to evaluate is that, you know, the Warriors have been pretty darn good for a couple of years, and knocking right on the door. Well, how much of that is Steve Kerr? You got to give him credit, but how much of it is Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are that much more experienced? Draymond Green has turned into a bona fide, you know, what I'd call a complimentary superstar. Bogut's been healthy, so you look at their team, and some of it is just, I think, the maturation and wisdom, and some of it is, I think, Kerr has brought certainly a lot of intangibles to them.
Well, yeah, and one of them, I mean, what do you? Well, let's switch over to basketball now. You got Cleveland waiting to see the likely opponent will be Golden State. If it's not Golden State, that means the record will be 116-1 for teams that had a 3-0 lead. Never in the NBA has a team with a 3-0 lead in the playoffs and a best of 7 blown it. And Houston won the other night, but no one really is expecting them to win the next three. I'm sure you're not either.
No, I would not bet on it. You know, the one way that can happen conceivably is if there's an injury, and let's hope that Curry is back to normal. But let's say Curry gets knocked out of the series, and then something else weird happens. All of a sudden, I mean, Houston's really good, and at this level of playoffs, you take Curry off the Warriors, and I think the Rockets could certainly win another game or two. I still don't think they're going to come back and do it. And, your question you were talking about earlier, who are the best besides LeBron, and I would absolutely take him first. I would have done that 5 years ago. I'd do it today, and I think I'd probably do it in 3 more years. but who would be the next guy you'd pair with him? I mean, those are fascinating questions, and watching if it ends up being, which I think it will, the Cavs and the Warriors, him against Curry, it's, I think it promises to be a great series. The conference finals have been, you know, kind of blowouts.
Well, actually, I diverted from that question after during the break we heard the Twins won. Would Curry be the other guy you'd, the first two players you'd pick, LeBron and Curry?
I think they'd, you know, I have to admit, I love both of them the way they play. Curry would be an easy choice. That said, I think you could look and say, all right, who can LeBron play with? I think one of the benefits is he can play with anyone because he can be your primary ball handler. He can guard power forwards. He can do so many things. I think the one thing you wouldn't want to do is have another guy who needs the ball in his hands a lot and needs to be the alpha male. And I think Dwayne Wade in Miami, that was Exhibit A their first year. It took Wade a little bit of time and his ego some work. So a guy like Russell Westbrook, I don't think he would do great with LeBron, even though he's a tremendous talent.
Yep.
The other thing I'd look at, you know, a guy like Klay Thompson, I don't think he's the second best player in the NBA, but when you look at the interchangeability, Bob, of being able to switch screens, and Thompson's a good defender, if you get James with a bunch of good shooters, he's going to create for them, and he's so unselfish. And then you get him some 6-7 shooters where you can switch a lot of screens. And, you know, then you start looking back at the Bulls in the day in the 90s with Jordan and Pippen, where you had a bunch of 6-7 guys running around who could guard a lot of different positions.
Now, John, I want to ask you this. Your book comes out in a matter of days, and it'll be available on Amazon, right? It has not yet come out, has it?
It comes out in a couple days. I just got a huge shipment today that I'm sorting through, and it's available on Amazon right now, but they won't ship it for about another week. So we're really excited to get that going and have plans to go out and speak quite a bit to youth groups and different organizations on it, because as the summer months, you know, as we approach June here, parents all over the land will be bombarded. I find my daily schedule every day, it's as busy looking up Little League games and trying to figure out where they are and if there's rain and everything else. And youth sports, for good and bad, has really taken over a lot of our culture. And that's a lot of what the book is about.
Well, I appreciate it. And also, your camps are going to be starting in a matter of weeks also, right?
Yeah, camps start a week from Monday, June 8th. So there's still space in a lot of the day camps. The overnight camp is now full 2 months in advance, which, you know, we're happy about, but also have a lot of kids are a little disappointed, so we're filling up today camps, and it promises to be a great summer on campus.
Well, these kids want to get away. They want to get, they want to spend nights with their pals. John Tower, thank you, the coach at St. Thomas and psychology professor there. His book is coming out, and John, give the name of the book so they know what to look for.
Yeah, the acronym is WASPs, Well-Intentioned, Over-Involved Sports Parents, and it's Why Less Is More, how by doing less as parents, we can actually teach our kids more of the valuable lessons of sport. So WASP, WOSP.
John, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great day.
All right, you too. We go from John Tower to John Pessa, author of the game Inside the Secret World of Major League Baseball's Power Brokers. Now, John, we talked about the book last week. He knows baseball. We're going to come back, talk to him. He's going to talk a little bit about some. There's a big deal happening in Milwaukee for Bud Selig, the former commissioner. But I want to talk to him about how John lives on the East Coast. I mean, he helped start ESPN, the magazine. But ask him how the Twins are being perceived nationally. Because here it's a big deal. But I wonder if people just say, eh. You know, they'll come in, they'll fade. We'll see. We'll talk to John Pessa when we return.
Three signals strong. 105 The Ticket.
You know, before we go to our guest, he's been a sports editor of several major newspapers, and he helped start ESPN the magazine. He will tell you what I'm going to tell you. By the way, we're also joined by JB. He stopped by to hang out with us. You buried the lead. The Twins are tied for first. Kansas City lost. You buried it.
Buried what?
The lead. Put John Pessa on. We're joined by John Pessa, author of the game Inside the Secret World of Major League Baseball's Power Brokers. John, am I right? Did he bury the lead? The Twins are tied for first.
Hey, I got to say that we were going to talk about Selig, and hopefully we'll get to it, but that's a great story in Minnesota.
Well, and I want to ask you about that. That's what I had said. I wanted to ask you, because you're on the East Coast. Here, it's a huge deal, but is it playing nationally, or people just say, the Twins, they'll fade?
It's not playing nationally yet, but it's early. You know, you got playoffs going on. It's a cool team. That whole disco Twins dance thing is great. It's a good story. And I think if they continue to win, You know, once the other sports die down, I think it'll catch on nationally. And I got to say that, you know, it was the team that I followed here, the Yankees, that helped put you in first place today.
That's right. It ended up 4-2, right? The Yankees.
Yes. Yep. I mean, after losing, go figure, right? After losing 10 of 11 and looking like really, really bad, they sweep the first place Royals, and with the best record in baseball.
They sweep the tied for first place Royals. I'm not going to come off like a homer, but it is, after watching 4 years of 90-plus losses, to see a team that now sits tied for first and 10 games above 500, and really, when you look at what they're doing, it's not like Mauer's not, there's no superstar on this team.
No, I know.
They're getting it done, though.
Yeah, that's the kind of cool thing it's just a really nice story, and I got to say that, you know, Phil Hughes came up through the Yankee system, and I watched him a lot, and he teased us here. I mean, he won 18 games 1 year, I think 11 by the All-Star break. And he always looked like he could do it, but he's doing it out there for you guys, right?
Yeah, and he did last year. I mean, this year he had a little bit of a rocky go, but I mean, he got the win today. But when he was there, do you think some guys just can't handle New York and he needed to get away from, you know, from the media and just playing in New York? And he's 4-4 now, by the way, but just to get away and settle someplace like Minnesota.
I think that was part of it, and I think the thing with Phil is Phil's from California, and Phil is a laid back guy, you know, and New York, everybody runs fast in New York. It's just the way it is here. So, you know, I think he's a better fit somewhere else, and he's a really good fit. I hate to see him go because he's got a lot of potential. I mean, when he's on, he's really tough, and good starting pitching is just really hard to find. So
the Twins know that.
Yeah, and isn't it a great feeling? I mean, I went through, now I'll betray how old I am here, but I went through 12 just awful years with the Yankees when they were, you know, just terrible. And then you suddenly get good. It just makes you feel better as a baseball fan, doesn't it?
Well, and this, with them going into June to be where they are, it's huge around here. Because there's, I mean, the other big story in Minnesota is Adrian Peterson not showing up for OTAs and, you know, playing the part of a petulant child.
Yeah, that's a tough story, isn't it?
Well, it is because he is at fault here. No one put him in the predicament he's in but himself.
Right. Here's a question I have for you, because, I mean, you know, you watch sports as much as I do, and suddenly now we're seeing, I mean, there's a guy the Bears traded for.
Yep, Ray McDonald.
Yeah, who they cut for domestic abuse, and it seems like, is it because there's a lot more media attention and all these cases are going, you know, are popping up, or is there a problem in the NFL?
Well, there's a problem in the NFL. You know, and here's the one thing that we've talked about, and JB is here. He was on the KQ. He's been on the KQ morning show with me, and we've talked about it there when I was on the morning show. We try as people to think, what is wrong with Ray McDonald? What is wrong? You know, what is wrong with these guys that would do this and continually do it? We're trying to apply rational thought to irrational people, and that's our biggest problem, why we can't understand why they continue and why they piss away careers and all the money they're making.
Yeah, well, you know, you've covered sports as long as I have, and we've watched. When we started, these guys weren't the celebrities and weren't paid what they're paid now. And, you know, you've got kids, you've watched, you know, and you've seen when kids start to separate and you really tell that they're special.